Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children. And by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education today.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Dr. Richard Tooley, and our topic today is, we're titling it Angry Saints, partially because all of us who have been in church work, or involved in church ministry, are surprised when something happens and conflict arises. So I'll start by asking a question, and then Dr. Tooley, you can ask me a question in return. So when was the first time that you recognized this phenomena as you worked among the saints?
I probably got to see it earlier than I thought I would, but my parents did a pretty good job of sheltering me from the things that they were going through. They were church workers. Our parents were church workers too. And we didn't get to see it as much, but when I got into church work myself, it became very quickly evident that humans lived there and not saints as we would want to interpret them. So now, when was it that you first experienced the disillusionment of angry saints?
Well, I always wanted to be a teacher, and I figured if I was the best teacher and the most perfect teacher, I would avoid any type of criticism. And unfortunately, in the small schools that I worked in, you had to do dual roles. So I was thrust into leadership at a relatively early stage of my career. And that's when I was amazed, because I took the position and they wanted more students. We had 6 students at the time. By the time I had 65 students, the anger was unbelievable. There was a huge power struggle going on, because it was perceived now that the school, as it gained momentum and prestige and notoriety in the community, had more influence than the church. And so the conflicts, the big hurricane of conflict, the side tornadoes of conflict, absolutely shocked me. I could not believe, because after all, they'd asked me to come there and build the school up, and the very thing that I did was causing so much angst. So it was early on I had these experiences, and I just thought, well, you know, I'll leave this school, and when I go to the next school, I will find a better situation. And of course, now, after having been in a number of schools over the course of my career, I realized that this is par for the course. And the sooner we recognize it, the more we can deal with it. In fact, I'm writing a book called The Battered Christian Syndrome that just really deals with within church conflict. I mean, you've heard those stories of the Sabbath school teacher who gets in trouble for teaching a certain curriculum when everybody thought they should teach a different curriculum. You know, there are usually very insignificant things when you're looking out. You know, when you're looking from the out inward, you're going, wow. I mean, you probably have heard of churches dividing over very insignificant issues.
Yeah, like the color of paint in the ladies' restroom.
Yes, so the color of paint in the ladies' restroom. Why would that be aligned, so to speak? Why would that become an issue?
It's very interesting. I think you can take the kinds of conflicts, and there are different conflicts that arise. And I would like to suggest it's within a community, because churches are communities, really. The one fundamental difference between, say, a church and a community that you have at home is that everybody is supposedly on the same wavelength and everybody is headed to the same place. And therein lies the rub.
Yes.
So you have you have these people coming in there, and all of them are saying, yes, we believe the same God, we have the same Jesus, we have the same Holy Spirit, we're all saints, we're all headed to the same way, but I don't see things the way you do, and therefore you must be sinning, and I must be the saint, or vice versa, and from there things can devolve, but it may not even have to do with religious things. Conflicts arise between people. Now, you've had some training in this, so when you have studied this, just let's go back to people, individuals, and talk about that. What are some of the causes that you can think of that you remember from your research and your studies that causes of conflict?
Well, you know, you talked about the paint, the wrong paint color on the wall. It really is basically we're working with human beings that have flaws, and so sometimes something is framed in a discrimination. You know, they're discriminating against me because of my color, or they're discriminating against me. They might not say that in so many words, but when you peel back the onion, you find out that we all bring a schema or a baggage to whatever group we're in. And those little seeds of insecurity, bullying is something that is rampant in churches. We don't call it bullying, but it is. And so all of these things meld together. We're all bringing a different family culture into a church family. And so the power struggles begin to happen.
So what I've found in my studies is that there's basically two types of conflict, and you know, people can parse this out, but they come from two different areas. When you get into a conflict, they come from two areas. One is what we would call substantive. Those are conflicts over issues of substance. There's not a personality involved. It's an issue of substance. So it would start off with, like, the paint color in the ladies' restroom is an issue of substance, maybe. you know, it's an aesthetic taste, but on the other hand, so say the argument was, if we set it up as a substance issue, someone says we want mint green, and the other people said we need basic white. And when you ask them why the difference, one says, well, mint green is prettier, and the basic white basic white's cheaper and easier to maintain. Okay, so there you would have a conflict of substance. Basically, are we willing to pay more money for the aesthetics, or do we have the money, or don't we have the money?
Mm-hmm.
So you end up with a conflict that can arise in that kind of a situation. So in substantive conflicts, usually they're resolvable at some level. They're much more resolvable. You come to a conclusion. Either we don't have enough money for it, or we do.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't, if somebody wants to cough up the extra money, then we do. But then when we get to the color of paint, now you're into a little bit different. Well, I like the mint green because it makes me feel better. You know, now we start seeing the emotion come in. And so that's the other type of conflict that we can see happening. And it devolves into personality conflict. You know, I like mint green because it's easier on my nerves. You must not have any nerves at all. So we get, well, I don't, you saying I don't have any nerves? What are you saying about me? Now we move from substantive to personality. And once personality gets involved, it becomes a much harder conflict to resolve.
Yeah, I know that we've heard of win-win. We want to create win-win situations. But let me give you a scenario. For example, someone went ahead and put beautiful ivy decals along the top of the woman's restroom. Now they're already there. They're permanently fixed. It takes some time to get it down. And there's very angry saint about it. There's a very angry saint who is upset that someone would take it upon themselves to put this decal without going through the proper decorating committee.
Yes, that is a conflict then. Now, what would happen is the committee would have to come and meet and say, is this a substantive issue or is this not? So the easiest resolution would be that the committee meets and say, yes, we love it and we're going to keep it. And praise the Lord, somebody did this. And so then you would have one person who might be a little bit miffed, but if the committee voted it, then mm-hmm. they didn't have much to stand on. And it's
yes.
done.
Well, we have to take a break right here, but when we come back, I want to delve a little bit more because these are real tense times in churches, sometimes over as simple as the color of the bathroom. We'll be right back. Like a little child, the toddler stood looking out at the waves. He seemed mesmerized. As he dashed toward the water, his father followed. As the waves rolled toward him, the toddler ran back. Then he noticed the 2-foot cliff of sand behind him. He ran to it and tried to climb up, but with every tiny foothold, the sand gave way. He tried harder, grabbing the top of the cliff with his hands and then going to another part of the cliff. It was no use. With frustration, he cried and flung himself at the cliff, face into the sand. He wanted up, but how? His father came behind him and carved some steps out of the sand. The toddler still needed his feet guided into the etched steps, and his father held his hands under the toddler's feet to ensure that he would make it to the top. In 2 seconds, the toddler was at the top and running on the smooth plateau of sand with his father running behind him. I watched this spiritual experience between father and son, the toddler's sense of self-accomplishment and the father's amusement. Like a little child, the spiritual journey of infants and toddlers. For more information, go to educationcurrents.org. Welcome back. I'm talking with Dr. Richard Tooley, and we're talking about angry saints. You know, you and I who get upset about things, do you ever sit and think, why am I upset about, is it a substantive? Would that be the same as ideology? Is this something that, you know, I'm so convicted about that I'm willing to go to the mat on? What would cause a church to get upset about someone trying to make the girls' bathroom look more lovely?
Yeah, so the conflict, if we cast that conflict in what it is, if someone said, I just don't like it, you know, you could get a conflict over that, and that would be an opinion. Usually an opinion doesn't carry too much weight unless that person happens to be a very influential person in the church. Then that person would get a lot of weight. I mean, you know, it would carry a lot of weight there. On the other hand, if the person said it didn't go through the proper committees to get this done, they have a point.
Yes.
The committees are set up for a purpose. People can't just, in any organization or any community, you can't just do what you want to do when you want to do it. You need to follow proper protocol, proper procedures.
Yeah, it's a matter of respect.
Yeah, so those are more substantive. And your conflict is, the conflict then, if you frame it correctly, is here's a gift that someone gave with very good intentions, and here's the protocol that it should have been given in and it wasn't. Now, how do we resolve those two? How do you keep from alienating this person who gave this beautiful gift, or alienating the person who believes that the protocol was breached?
Yes.
That's one form of conflict that you could get. Now, let's cast another conflict for you. You get to deal with this one. You have a person who comes in and And they're in the church, and some young ladies walk by, teenage girls, and that person starts telling them that their skirts are too short and that is sinful and evil for them to be dressing that way in the church.
You know, in all of these conflicts, all these scenarios that we talk about, we've lived. Not only did the saint talk about how the young lady was dressing, but then at some point became influential enough on the church board to have that young lady disfellowshipped because her lifestyle was not in accordance with that of the church, which brings up a whole nother can of worms, this idea of disfellowshipping based on one or two people's, you know, interpretation of what God would have us to do is fraught with danger, but it does happen. So, yeah, from my perspective, there's, you know, a kinder, gentler way. God is so patient with us. He is not at all arbitrary, even though he knows what is in for our best interest. He's just so patient with us. And if we were much more Christ-like, we would have a lot more people in our churches today.
So when you're looking at that type of a conflict, that is leaning towards the personality side. That's an ideology that's coming in.
So you're saying that ideology can both be in substantive and in personality conflict.
Well, if you think about it, when this person attacked the young girl for having a skirt that was too short, the person was technically stating an opinion. There really wasn't any point at which you could say it was too short or not too short, because it was too short in this person's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But it might not have been too short in some other person's opinion. So what's too short and what's not too short? And the problem with that kind of a discussion is it would never be an agreement that you could come. I mean, we've tried it for years past, you know, 3 inches above the knee, 4 inches above the knee, at the knee, below the knee by 2 inches. Where do you peg it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's no set fast rule for any of that. So it's somebody's opinion. And now you have to dig back and say, why did they have that opinion? It wasn't based on any concrete reality. It was based on an interpretation of what they believed. So the issue for that person wasn't really the skirt being too short. This is where the personality conflict comes in. The issue was that person is an evil sinner and must be dealt with.
The person wearing the person who judged the girl who wore her skirt too short was judging that girl to be an evil sinner.
Yes. So now you don't have a substantive argument.
Their argument was that she would influence the others in the church to also wear short dresses.
Right. That's the argument. Well, why? Why would they think that? It's because she's got to be a hussy or something like that, and she's going to drag the rest of the saints down with her. And that's not a substantive argument to be had, because the premise on which it's based is flawed.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to give you another scenario. So finish up this one. I have another scenario I want to get in here.
Okay. So when you see that kind of a discussion, it is incumbent on a church board or the elders and the pastor and the leadership of the church to stop it, or to define the rules of the congregation such that this is the way it's going to run.
You know, I agree with you.
It can be.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the school and or the church leadership, if they allow these bullies to continue on, it's because they're not taking a stand themselves.
Right, but a lot of times they don't know how to take that stand. And it is a very risky proposition for a pastor to take that stand at times, because putting himself out there. If that person happens to have enough influence in the church, then the pastor may find himself heading for a new pastorate somewhere.
Yes, hence the problem. That's why we continue to have so much conflict within the church, and the bullies do rise to the top. Well, I want this other scenario is more of a corporate scenario. So a recent church was in turmoil. First of all, one of their pastors, a husband and wife team, did go ahead and marry a lesbian couple. And when the church found out about it, they went and they literally locked the doors of the church. When the conference found out about it, they locked the doors of the church, terminated the husband and wife pastoral team, and it had a chain reaction. I mean, many people were very upset about this, and it eventually went to the general conference, and the general conference just recently, now I'm not saying what denomination this is, I don't even know if you can recognize it, Richard, but the denomination prayerfully went through this, and they came back just a few weeks ago with the decision that the church was not going to authorize the marriage of gay and lesbian couples. Now, this is still in a big foment, but what type of conflict is this? Is it substantive or personality conflict?
You have two different types of conflicts going on. One is substantive. Clearly, by policy, if a church has a policy that says we do not marry gay and lesbian couples, then that pastoral couple were in breach of policy. So that's a pretty much cut and dried conflict that you have that is substantive. Now, when they take it back to the church, and they're going to decide whether or not gay and lesbian couples can be married in their church as a denomination, you still have a substantive issue there, and it's based on Bible study. But what happens in these types of issues, because there's ideology involved, it begins to devolve from being a substantive issue as the sides harden into their different positions, into a, if you want to call it, you start labeling the other side, and it becomes a personality conflict that can split churches and split denominations, because people quit looking at the substantive issue and begin to look at the personality issue. Personality issue takes over. This happens at all levels. You know, I've seen it plenty of times where you get to what is a substantive issue, and because people have different ideologies, now it moves from substantive, and the primary reason for the discussion is kind of abandoned, and personalities become the fighting point. And how do you bring those, you know, what's God going to do in heaven when two people get up there who have a conflict with each other? Mm-hmm. Are they going to make it? What are you doing here?
Yes, and I do rest in the knowledge that God is a fair and just judge, and I want to make sure that I don't hold any grudges against anybody, and that I look forward to seeing everybody in the kingdom made new. And with that, we have to end the show. So thank you so much for spending this time with us. We have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media Ministries. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.